guys, welcome back to our Studios ESL podcast. And here I am today. I am bringing Laura back onto the podcast. She's right out of Belgium. I've had her on about two times already. And man, we had such an amazing conversation after the podcast that could have helped a lot of people out there, but it's okay. We weren't recording that. Nonetheless, guys, we do have birds in the background, okay? So if you are not a bird liker, or if you have problems with that, this may be a problem, okay? But if not, if you like the sounds of nature in the background, guys, enjoy this podcast. And without further ado, Laura, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. I'm really happy to be here again. Looking forward to speaking. Always looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you're in good health, okay? There's the craziness. Again, people are going to be hearing this. Whenever people hear this, this is probably going to be about 3 weeks from now, 2 or 3 weeks from now. And so things may have changed. Let's hope for the better. But you being out there in Belgium, you're holding yours down. I'm glad that the Belgian government is taking care of you guys. You're all good. You're in good health. Me, on the other hand, oh, hell. But nonetheless, we're going to be doing a development speaking task today. And this development speaking task I have done before. Kind of, a little, but I have so many different journeys I've been on. But this one, you. So, a memorable journey that you have been on. Why did I pick Laura for this? It's because her being in Belgium, she has so many different countries that are around her. So, this is going to be a good one. So, Laura, let's hear it. Storytelling time. Yeah.
Actually, my first one is school related because I went for 3 months to Northern Ireland just a couple of years ago when I was studying my last year of teacher training, actually. And over there, we were with 30 students from all over the world. There was one American, by the way. Yeah, only one. for the rest, we had Dutch people, people from Slovakia, Italians, Spanish people. There were, by the way, there are a lot of Spanish people in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I'm sorry for interrupting. Northern Ireland, the capital is Belfast, right?
Yes, I was there.
How different is it from, have you been to Ireland?
Yes.
How different is Northern Ireland from Ireland? I never knew,
when you get there, it's more in the history of the whole situation. Have you ever heard of the Troubles?
I never heard, I'm sorry. Like, this is one of those things I have to be guilty for. Ireland and Northern Ireland, I never read up their history, but I only know the IRA, the Irish Republican Army. I don't know where they are, but I've watched the movie with Jackie Chan, which was unbelievably good. And anyways, so tell us briefly what that's about.
Well, it's a very difficult one to tell, and probably, well, not going to into politics in here. Because it might be dangerous for
you know. I got some Irish folks listening to me, and just a couple who listen to me. And all you Irish, thank you very much.
So back in the days, you had the British people and the Irish people, and the British people basically wanted Ireland, so they took Northern Ireland, and well, that's very short. It's really. But in some, you have the U2 song, Bloody Sunday. Ooh. Yeah, where the army, and it's actually because the army in Derry, it's a little town over there, they shot 14 innocent people that day. So it was on a Sunday. They call it Bloody Sunday over there. And when you go to Belfast, in fact, there are many places where there are still borders just into the city between Irish people and British people. So it has been a civilian war. Yeah. So, but it's getting better, but still you can see the history of this whole thing. For example, in Belfast, you have the Europe Hotel, which was back in the days the most bombed hotel of the world. So yeah, it's been crazy. The taxi drivers really tell you everything about it.
The most bombed hotel in the world. No, that's crazy, because the images of like Syria and other countries, you know, came up in my mind. I was like, oh damn, I know bombed hotels. Oh, Yugoslavia. There we go. I remember that. Yeah. Yugoslavia, when they ended up breaking up into, of course, Bosnia, Croatia. They have a lot of those historical monuments as a reminder. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's everywhere over there. And in fact, when you go there, I have never met so many friendly people in one place altogether. So it was really crazy to think, how could these people be at war? Or
so wait, Northern Ireland's at war with England?
Yeah, not really. It's like a civil war. So some people really, really are into the British system, and some are more into the Irish system. I think that's the most important thing. So it's not really. It's not going on at this point, but Northern Ireland is part of the UK, and Ireland is Ireland, so they're different parts. Okay. Actually,
I'm gonna have to like YouTube this up tonight. I don't want to watch anything like really sad in the evening, but my curiosity has taken over. But yeah,
oh, no, yeah. Listen to the song Bloody Sunday. It's a good one as well. So, but it learns us a lot about the history.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry for interrupting, because I just always wanted to know about that. Belfast, I thought that was such a cool name, but a very like, have you been to Belfast? I'm like, oh my, you know, it could sound like a scary name, yeah. Depending on how you say it. But nonetheless. Okay, tell me about your trip. Go ahead. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful trip. And so you get to know the culture, the dancing. It's actually when you, as a woman, you go here for some Irish dancing and you're in a pub or so, and you want to dance. Well, here in Belgium, men aren't really into dancing.
Oh, so they can't move the hips.
The thing, or not from the people in my environment.
Yeah.
might be a difference. But over there, you just stand in a circle and a man comes next to you. You start dancing. You start dancing with everyone. It's such a happy place to be, actually. And I remember this pub. Actually, I remember lots of pubs. When you go, for example, when you take a cab, a taxi, you can call them, they come at your door, and you just have to say the name of the pub you want to go to, not the streets, just, for example, I want to go to Dirty Onion, which is the name of a pub over there.
Yeah, that sounds a little...
Yeah, there are different names, by the way, so it's... But they just take you there straight away. So it's really, it's cheap, of course, and really easy to go, actually. So it was very fun to know that you just have to say the name of the pub you want to go to, and then take a taxi. And so, yeah. And for example, when you go there, there was this Madden's pub. Yeah, this is where I did the Irish dancing. And every Monday evening, people would just take the musical instruments from the wall, because there were many instruments around, and they just start playing something and everyone starts playing along. So it was such a nice experience just to get there. You start singing, you start making music with people that you don't know, actually, that you have never met. But that's every Monday over there, and I thought this moment was so beautiful. It was really nice. So yeah.
Wow.
And then I also went teaching. I did my teacher training over there. So it was in a Catholic school, because that's one of the biggest differences as well. You have Catholics and Protestants, and this is the main difference between the two divided categories in Northern Ireland. But since I, well, here in Belgium, we're Catholic. We went to a Catholic school. And I taught girls, 8-year-old girls. They were all in their little beautiful school uniforms, which we don't have in Belgium, only in private schools, maybe in Antwerp somewhere, but overall, we don't have them. It was a girls' school as well, so many schools are divided into girls, boys, and some of them are mixed, but that's not not a lot of schools, actually. So we went to a girls' school, and it was such a beautiful experience. They really had groups, and I never thought I would ever do this, but I taught them clock reading, which was included in the math lessons, and I never thought I would ever teach math in English, but I managed. So I chose languages because I'm really awful at math. But
same here. Same here. Hand up. Same here. I think math is the devil. I could add, you know, money. That's all I need to know. But when it gets into the y equals mx plus b, I don't give a damn about all that.
Yeah, I could do it. Clock reading was fine, but they shouldn't have asked more things about. And what's really cute is that they were learning. When the kids did their homework, very good. Every week. So every week on Friday, they would get golden time. And golden time means that it would be a fun hour of games and something very fun to learn about. And since I was there in the class with the other teacher, I was able to teach them some French. And I have learned them about chocolate as well. So I asked my parents during that time to get me some Belgian chocolate, because it was around Easter as well, around this time. And I got them Belgian chocolate in Ireland. So it was really, really nice for
How different are the students out there, like you said, them wearing school uniforms and whatnot? How different are they in their mindsets versus the Belgian students? What do you think?
Since it was primary school, I'm not really sure, because I teach in secondary school. Okay. But they were so well behaved. I was like,
I don't even know what behavior is. Oh my God. But well behaved. How so? How so?
They were so polite. They were so, I mean, when the school bell rang, they were just standing in rows, silent, doing the morning prayer. It was utopia.
What about saying, Belgium? I mean, Thailand, they throw things at you, you know?
Pupils are really well behaved here as well. I don't have problems at my school, for example, but the mindset was completely different. They were just polite because they were raised that way, I think. And pupils here are polite as well. I'm not really thinking about any problems or something, but it was a different insight. Difficult to explain, actually. But I was so happy over there. It was like, oh my God, because just before my trip, I had such a bad training here in Belgium at a training school. And I thought, oh my God, if this is it, I'm never going to be a teacher, really not. So with that mindset, I went to Ireland and they made me completely forget all the things, and it was really beautiful.
You know what? I want to ask you about that because I feel, and I'm putting myself in your shoes, when you were in Northern Ireland, it felt like I was getting the vibe as if it was me when I first went to Australia 11 years ago. You know, when I landed in Brisbane and I spoke to this Chinese girl who had an Australian accent, and I'm like, oh my God, where am I in the world? You know what I mean? And I, you know, I get to Sydney and I come out the subway and I see these buildings and I'm looking around and my Japanese friend is like, are you okay? You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, the euphoria, the unknown, you know? But when I went back to Las Vegas, I realized living there was no longer, it was no longer for me. Now, when you went back to Belgium, do you feel that something in your mind had gotten, like, had opened up?
Yeah, I really wanted to go back, and I haven't gone back ever since, actually. But it made me think about more international programs in my teaching, and opening up the pupils' minds. So if any student is in doubt for going on an international program, I would say just go. It will be an experience that nobody can take away from you. And if your boyfriend or girlfriend or your relationship isn't surviving it a couple of months, I mean, it is not meant to be, I think. I'm really sorry to tell that. But anyway, it should be an experience, and nobody can take away that experience from you. And I learned so much about, not only for teaching or not only teaching and culture, but the whole way of living, taking care of yourself in another country, spending money, for example, going shopping. It's a completely different experience. I mean, you can teach pupils to go to a restaurant and to order something, but having the experience to actually be there and stand in a row until they give you a table, until you get a menu and stuff like that, it's the whole experience, actually. Those are all things you cannot learn from a dialogue in a book. Oh. And to learn a language, it's the whole experience around it. It's really beautiful. And that's what I would like to give my pupils. Last year, I went to Ireland itself, not Northern Ireland, but Ireland, with exchange students. With, I think, some exchange students from our school. So they did an exchange program with math teachers, but I was able to... And I was really privileged to go and honored to come along. And it was also a nice experience because at that point, the students had to be in, how do you call it? They would stay at different families from other students from their same class, but then the Irish families. So they would stay there. And there was a Spanish group, an Italian group, an Irish group, and a Belgian group. And, you know, you see those pupils coming together and you see them becoming a real group. And it's so heartwarming to see all those different nationalities coming together, having fun together, speaking, and at such a young age. It's really nice. I mean, I know that some of our pupils this summer, they went to Spain to meet some friends from there and different ways around as well. It was so wonderful to experience.
Man. That inner culture, that connectedness, because we're all connected in a sense. Yeah. And so when you're telling me this story, it felt like I was back, and I'm going to have to paint the picture, at an international school here in Bangkok. I remember there were a couple comments exchanged and a couple of other things. And he said, Arsenio, I'm inviting you on over. Come on down here for a nice little day tour. I said, okay, NIST, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to go down there with my best shirt, my best pants, my best shoes. So I get down there. I meet him. He's from Madison, Wisconsin. And we're talking and so many different things. And then next, you know, he shows me around the school. I'm in awe. I remember that was the first time I was in a room. I saw two Chinese students. I saw a couple of students from Sweden. I saw my Wakanda people, you know, some African people right over here. Mm-hmm. Had some Americans here, some Australians over here. There were about 20 different types of nationalities and backgrounds in one area, but no one cared about the color, the origin, the anything. It was connectedness. Not- you know what I mean? And that's what I find so beautiful about humanity, because we have the opportunity to do that. If we see people who don't have that connectedness, it's because they don't have that opportunity, such as these beautiful programs that Belgium have and other things, you know?
Yeah, I think there should be more, or there should be invested more in such programs, because I think it's very important for our future as well. The children now are the future tomorrow, so it's very very important to prepare them and to have respect for each other and respect for other cultures and behavings as well. I mean, when I go to the refugee center where I work, for example, you have respect for each other's culture. That's something that should be in you. And I think it's something everyone has in him or her. You have to be open for it. That's the thing that I am convinced of. But of course, not everyone is convinced of it, probably. Right. So yeah, that's the
When did you first start volunteering? Like when it came to volunteering?
Actually, in the beginning of this year, September.
Since September, you said?
Yeah.
Wow. What made you? I have that push.
Actually, I have been thinking about it for a couple of years, because when I was in teacher training, we had to do, it was actually a task for a certain course to do some volunteering work. And that's when I went to another center for refugees, and I helped pupils doing their homework. And practicing Dutch. And from that time, I thought this was such a good experience for me, because afterwards, around Christmas, the pupils cooked for us for a little party, and we could talk, and it was not really into the program, but we were invited as students, and so we could do some other activities together. And this was such a good experience that I thought, okay, I really want to do this in my life when I am working and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how I went to this idea.
Yeah, well, like when it comes to especially volunteering, I feel like, you know, the first time I volunteered, I don't even know what I was doing, but it was at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and I don't know what I was doing it with a friend, and I wasn't getting paid, and I was like, man, this is whack. But see, again, my need at the time was to get paid. It was about me, not helping other people. Yeah. Now, of course, being at NASCAR, who needs help? Like, what I did, it wasn't really helping people, such as what I've done in the south of Thailand, teaching at a school of 80 students, and 8 of them had Down syndrome, or, you know, a few of them had autism, and seeing them clap their hands and get so excited, you know, when they answer a question correctly, you know, those little things, man, that means everything in the world. So, I mean, I don't know how to spur on other individuals, but like, when it comes to, when you do international travels, do you like to do volunteering while you're at it too?
I think I would like to, yes, because then, I mean, and even in Belgium, I learned to see, sorry, the sun is really...
Yeah. It's just right in your face. I know you're like this. You're like, oh my God.
We're not you. Is it burns? I mean...
right. It's okay.
So yeah, I would love to, because in that point you would see, so if you are on a journey, I mean, you get to learn so much about cultures, about different ways of living and all the things I talked about earlier. But I think when you do some voluntary work, you give an extra meaning to it, or you could give an extra meaning to it instead of just doing what you have to do and giving an extra meaning to it. It's more hard to explain it. It's more like philosophy. I mean, it's if you do it, it's you really feel good as a person, I think, or that's the feeling that I have. And you just don't do it for yourself, you do it for others, and doing something for others is really, it's such a beautiful experience. I cannot say differently. It's really such a beautiful experience, and it has nothing to do with you as a human being. It has to do with others and giving to others. And I think this is a very important lesson as well.
That's the moral of this story. I'm so happy that, way off topic, just before we got on, Laura, I was watching a movie on Netflix that had come on, and it was called Platform. I'm not sure.
I should look it up.
Yeah. So you got this movie, right? And I'm not going to do any teasers, but the moral of the story was selfishness versus doing for others. And so basically you have all these floors, right? And this platform goes down every day with a whole bunch of food on it. And by the time it goes from floor number one down to 50, the lower floors, to, you know, to 200, to 300, they have no more food. So that's when those people become cannibalistic, which of course each floor has two people. But at the very bottom, this guy, these two, oh, I hate to be a spoiler. So anyone who does, if who forever, whoever wants to watch that movie, just make sure you like speed ahead maybe about a couple of 3 minutes or something like that, so I don't spoil it. But two guys, they went down. They're like, okay, we made this beautiful platter of food, and we're going to bring it all the way down because we're going to give it to them without showing our selfishness. So at floor after floor, they started killing people and hitting people in the face. And sure enough, the people from floors 1 through 50, they were the most selfish. And this is why, you know, every 30 days, the floor switched. They went down to the bottom. Then they couldn't eat. And then those people, they were eating each other. They were burning each other alive. A lot of crazy things were happening until they finally got to the bottom. And there was a little girl there. And that little girl was clean. The food never made it down there. Food never made it down there. And the man, all bloody and just blood, you know, he had to go through war to get down there. He gave that platter of food to that child. That child ate it. He went down further. And it, the message was the child. That was for like the future generations. Feed the future generations with knowledge that can expand. Yo, yeah. So if you look at what's happening in the world today with the older generations, there's too much fighting. You know, but we're not focusing more on the younger generations and doing for people without expectation, you know? So I think that was one of the strongest morals ever I've ever seen in a movie. So you saying that, that reminded me so much of that movie.
Happy to hear that. I should look it up, by the way.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I spoiled it for everyone out there.
No worries.
That was it's a very gory movie. So for anyone out there that's, oh my God, you know, it's going to be a lot of that craziness. But understand the hidden meaning behind it, and you could come away a different individual. And this is what I love about you. You going on these journeys, going to the Belfast, going to Ireland, and coming back a complete, like a different person, and you continue to develop. That's what life is.
Yeah, it's not a switch you can turn on and off again. It's, yeah, you change. And that's the, when you take longer journeys, it could be a painful experience, but sometimes you meet yourself and sometimes that's the best experience you can ever have, because it's a very it's an experience in which you can learn so much. So I could recommend it for everyone. So yeah,
awesome. And how about the future? Give me a country, give me some place that you would like to go. That it's kind of like me, sometimes I say, man, I need to go to Mongolia, you know, or I need to go to Sao Tome and Principe. I need to see where my roots are somewhere in Africa, Western Africa, of course. Or I would love to go to the country of Georgia. I would love to go to Reunion. I would like to go to Mauritius. You know what I mean? Where would you like to go?
Yeah. Difficult to say, actually. There are so many interesting places, I guess. I would love to visit, let's say, Morocco, for example.
There you go. All right, a little Morocco. Yeah. Me too. Me too. Absolutely. Casablanca. But Casablanca is not what I thought it was. Okay, keep going.
But other, I think, Slovakia is on the list as well.
Okay.
Because my uncle actually lives there, but I am dying to see the country, and because I really don't know much of it, like Poland as well, which would be interesting, for example, to visit Auschwitz, the concentration camps, for example, just to have my, because of my grandparents, they told so many stories about the Great War, the Second World War, and I really... really want to see and learn how it is there, or how the experience must have been back in the days. Other countries I would like to go, actually I would love to go, or I would die to go on a world tour or something. America would be very interesting as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Southern America, South America, for example, it would be very, yeah.
Colombia, Peru. Oh, man. Those women. Those women. Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking about the women. Oh my God, I need to calm down. But yeah, like that Peru. I met women from Peru, and they say Arsenio, and I'm like, oh my God, I'd melt right there. I just whack, gone, just right on the ground, you know. So I need to go there. Ecuador, Colombia, Peru. I got a lot of listeners out there too. They're probably saying, let me know when you come. But nonetheless, man, okay, Caribbean, Africa, are there any like really unique places? Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan?
Would be very interesting, I guess, because when I, for example, I meet a lot of people from Afghanistan, mm-hmm. and they tell so many, I mean, I heard stories, for example, there are villages without electricity, and I thought, wow. I mean, they come from places without electricity, and I think this is so basic for us, water and electricity, and it's not there, and they're happy and they are okay with their families. So I would love to experience that in some kind of way, just to know, because we, in fact, we have everything. I mean, I might live in quarantine right now because of the COVID-19 virus, but I still have everything. I have nothing to worry about, even though I am in these four walls of this house. And I mean, how are people going to manage without all these basic needs? It's something I would love to experience one day. And I would love to, and this is, I think if I can dream big, I would love to build a school somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that would be my ultimate dream, but I'm not sure if I can do it in my lifetime.
Right, well, a Professor Xavier school from like, you know, from X-Men or something like that? Or are you talking about like a school that could... Me, I would not so much build a school, but I, like, honestly, if I could do this in my lifetime, I would be thrilled. What international schools are doing, I want all of that they do in public schools. I want schools all around Thailand to have 10 to 15 different nationalities working there, speaking together, eating together, just international programs, these types of programs, they should be readily available in every country. Yeah. There should be Zimbabweans out here. There should be Bhutanese out here. There should be all types of people out here and in every country, because once you establish that, the borders are gone, you know? I want to establish it.
Very happy. Mm. Yeah, would be very good experience.
Yeah, establishing a school though, that sounds good. That sounds good. You let me know about that again, man. I want to go to Belgium so bad, and I really want to do this volunteering. I will not place my life on hold this year because of this wacko quacko Mr. COVID is just out there, you know, acting a fool. But I will say this: when this does ease up, I'm going to the Fiji. I'm going to places. I'm going to start the Arsenio Buck Foundation. I'm going to do wonderful things. So for everyone out there who has listened to this, you know, Rora, you've been to Ireland. You've been to Northern Ireland. And this continues to open doors within your mind, as I've said so many different times. And this is what I'm so grateful for, you know. And again, you being in the midst of everything, myself and everyone else out there, especially in America and over here, over there, ignore the noise. You know, and there are so many things to explore, especially on YouTube. Ooh, top 10 things to do in Mongolia. Top 10 things to do in Morocco. Top 10 places to go. Da, da, da. You know what I mean? And then boom, door after door after door. Curiosity builds. Boom, things happen. Manifestation.
Yeah.
Oh, and with that being said, Laura, is there anything else like to top off that memorable journey and the memorable journeys you've been on? What's the ultimate lesson to top off this podcast? What's the ultimate lesson you learned?
Developing yourself as a human being and exploring your own borders as a human being, because we all have our personal bubble, I think, but opening it would be... It is such a valuable lesson that everyone should experience at least once. There is a place for everyone on this earth, and meeting new people and experiencing all those things all together, just that's the lesson. Just go for it. Just soak in all the information, all the different, all the differences actually, and accept them. That would be my lesson, acceptance, and forget about the selfishness, doing it for each other. It would be very beautiful to see. So yeah.
Awesome. With that being said, Laura, thank you so much for coming on. That was such a beautiful journey we had gone on. For everyone else out there who's listening to this, and I have 169 countries now. So mm-hmm. I'm very, very excited about the borders I'm reaching. You know what I mean? And it just continues to get bigger and bigger. And I can't thank you enough, because you were there with me back then. You're there with me now. You're going to be there with me in the future. More development speaking tasks. So much excitement going on. So, man, Laura, thank you so much for coming on to this ESL.
Thank you for inviting me.
Very welcome. And guys, you'll be seeing Laura again very, very soon, because of course she is my Belgian partner in crime. She has the chocolate, she has the waffles, she must keep coming on. So with that being said, guys, stay tuned for more, man. I'm your host, as always, over and out.